74 CM College Station Bryan.
Shaving cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave now with new rust-proof aluminum bottoms. Last night in Denver, Bill Belichick was not in a mood to answer the question about how he felt when Rob Gronkowski was carted off with a knee injury.
What do you think?
Well, after last night's overtime loss, maybe Belichick is in a better mood today, with reports Gronk suffered only a strained or bruised knee. That's what an MRI apparently revealed. Those same reports differ on how much time Gronk will miss. They range from 0 to 2 games. Johnny Manziel won't play after lying to the Browns about his off-week partying. Joe Flacco won't play for the Ravens because he has a knee injury of his own. So the backups start tonight.
I'm looking forward to the opportunity to get back out on the field, especially with the group of guys we have. You know, in the short time I've been here, we developed a great relationship, so looking forward to getting to work with them.
Matt Schaub quarterbacks Baltimore. Josh McCown will start for the Browns, who are 4-point home favorites tonight. Eagles coach Chip Kelly denies the stories that say he had a meeting last week with someone from the University of Southern California, which decided instead to stick with Clay Helton.
I think about the seniors and what they've gone through over the last 4 to 5 years, the roller coaster ride that they have had.
Helton becomes the third permanent head coach of the Trojans in the past 3 seasons. USC got rid of the word interim from his title. Basketball tonight, top-ranked Kentucky, home to play Illinois State. In the pros, Golden State tries to get to 19-0 when it visits Utah to start a 7-game road trip. Los Angeles has one less rival in its bid to host the Olympics in 2024. Hamburg, Germany dropped out yesterday. That leaves L.A., Paris, Rome, and Budapest. I'm Ron Flatter.
2 letters, 4 hours. It's simple math. D.A., 6 until 10 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Zeiner with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by R.P. Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Silver Taps will be held tomorrow on Texas A&M's campus in front of the academic building at 10:30 p.m. After Sunday's BCS Christmas Parade, Holy Cross Lutheran Church is hosting a free photo opportunity with live camels from their Living Nativity. The camels will be set up at the ends of the parade route off Texas in the parking lot of Cool Smiles. The Navasota Theater Alliance hosts a 2-week run of a good old-fashioned redneck country Christmas starting Thursday. For tickets, visit NavasotaTheaterAlliance.com. Today, possible fog early on, a 40% chance of rain, cloudy and 55. Tonight, 30% chance of showers, cloudy and 47. Want to listen to the Louie Belina Show, Aggie Nation, Tex Ags Radio, or Chip Howard on your smartphone, PC, or tablet? Make sure to visit RadioAggieland.com.
A lot can happen in 1 second. A tender embrace, sharing a smile, enjoying the sunset, or watching a loved one take their last breath. Herman Sons Life Insurance.
We're there for you because every second does count.
Herman Sons, taking care of you.
At Herman Sons Life Insurance, we've been protecting Texans for more than 150 years, designing life insurance plans to meet your family's needs. Herman Sons is built on family values and protection, offering unique membership benefits, from a summer youth camp and dance classes to a retirement home. Our agents are ready to work with you, with life insurance products tailor-made for your family. To find out more, go to HermanSons.org. That's HermanSons.org. Or call 800-234-4124. Herman Sons Life Insurance, helping you protect what matters most.
Because every second does count.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Hargrove Insurance, Cherry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
so you're struggling with truck dysfunction. Don't worry. 4 out of 5 trucks suffer from truck dysfunction. Let the pros at Texas Fleet Outfitters give your truck that boost of confidence it needs. TFO offers a huge selection of lift kits, tires, and wheels, spray and bed liner, toolboxes, steps, winches, window tinting, and nearly anything you need to keep your truck riding high, turning heads, and looking strong for years to come. Side effects include increased confidence and a strong desire to overtake sports cars like speed bumps. Texas Fleet Outfitters, 2770 Osborne Lane in Bryan.
The Citizen to the Zone, 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieland.com.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Sesta. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. And you can give us a call, 693-1150, or you can text us at 229-1939. We are joined now, as we are every Monday, by former Texas A&M quarterback Stephen Magee. Stephen, let's just dive right in. Watching that A&M-LSU game for a former quarterback had to be difficult.
Yeah, it was. Just another one of those blah experiences on the couch watching, you know, a team that has been at times shown a lot of explosiveness and a lot of ability, and then at times just seemed like, man, we look so average for guys that seem to be more talented than most schools are able to recruit coming into this school. What are we doing with them once they get here? So that question keeps popping up, I think, in a lot of people's minds, and certainly mine, sitting there watching this team play.
Let's talk about the quarterbacks. In this game, it was Kyle Allen, and he might – we don't have any sort of update on his injury. He suffered at the end of the game. But from what we talked about at the beginning of the season and what you wanted to see out of Kyle when they opened the game at Arizona State to where he was at the end of the season, you know, I think for the average fan, they're going to go, I don't know that he got any better. Do you think he got better? And if so, what did he get better at?
Yeah, I think he did get better. I think going through some growing experiences and the pain of losing and having doubters, I think that stuff that we've talked about throughout this year and his development away from the field and as a leader and as a guy that has to be able to handle adversity, I think he has grown from that. I haven't spent time with him. Hopefully he has. And I think his play showed that he can bounce back from adversity. I think as on the field as a quarterback, though, you saw him get more decisive as the year went on after he came back from Kyler starting there for a couple games. And I thought the ball came out quicker. I thought he threw it more decisively. He has thrown the ball accurately the last couple games. I've been impressed with that. I don't see him right now as a guy that certainly arrived. I think he has a long way to go to get to where his expectation is, certainly the expectation that he arrived at A&M with as a quote-unquote five-star quarterback. For him to be a five-star junior quarterback, he's got a long way to go. And for him to be a five-star senior quarterback at A&M, he's got a long way to go. He hasn't arrived at that point yet, but I think he has gotten better at it. Most importantly, he started to limit turnovers. He had a bad one the other night. Can't take a sack in the red zone. Can't turn the football over in the red zone. Those are golden rules as a quarterback, but all in all, I've been impressed with him. I don't think the quarterback position is what held us back the last 2 weeks.
When you look at Allen compared to maybe what quarterbacks were looked at, you know, 10 years ago when you were coming out of high school, is there unfair expectations on younger quarterbacks because of the rare exceptional ones that have been so good so young?
Yeah, you know, we look at Johnny Manziel at University in the not-too-distant past, who had a lot of success with a team that was probably under-talented compared to most in the SEC at that time, and watched him lead an offense at an incredible rate with a lot of ability at a very young age. And so I think we get spoiled, and that's now our expectation, that bar, so to speak, and now we bring in these guys that were even more highly recruited or thought of in high school than Johnny was, per se. Now we expect them to be at least to Johnny's level. So, yeah, we do get spoiled. But on the flip side, there are still quarterbacks that are playing in big-time football conferences as freshmen that are having an impact. Two come to mind that have really stood out to me. The UCLA kid has done an incredible job, in my opinion. Not to say that any of these guys are without their blemishes. Certainly they're going to go through growing pains just like our quarterbacks are. It's hard to play freshman quarterback in big-time football conferences because there's such a big learning curve from high school. But then the second one is the Baylor kid that just recently got hurt, the guy that started the season out as a backup quarterback. God, this guy really has impressed me. He's just got it all, in my opinion. He's got a great tight throwing motion. Ball comes out quickly. Got a strong arm. A lot of the things you really look for on the NFL level jumped out to me when I saw him play. So, you know, there are guys that do come in and exceed expectations at a young level, to answer your question. Not that Kyle has fallen short of that, but there's just growing pains, I think, that guys go through developing into that good quarterback. And everybody's different. You know, it just takes more time, more experience for some guys to get to that point. So I don't think that by any stretch of the imagination that we're not still very lucky to have some good quarterbacks in our stable.
When you were playing and there were teams that for whatever reason you just couldn't beat, did that start to wear on you as a player? I mean, I don't know if it was something you talked about with teammates or ever really thought about, but did that stick in your head? I don't know if it was I want to say during your years it was probably Texas Tech, but was there anyone that just kind of stuck with y'all, you know, throughout the off season and into the next year, like it seems LSU is right now?
Absolutely. Like you said, Texas Tech is a big one. Oklahoma was another one that we just couldn't quite get past for whatever reason. I don't know that teams, players, individuals practice or prepare any differently for any game. I don't think that that's necessarily in their mind at any point of the week. Now they know the opponent's good. They obviously have a lot of respect for the opponent because they haven't had a lot of success with them, so they know they're going to have to play well to beat them. I don't think they put any more added pressure, though. I haven't felt that as a player. I haven't sensed that from other guys. I do know that there's seems to be an added sense of urgency during the practice week. Guys are more focused, which is a very good thing. But at the end of the day, despite that added focus, that added attention, and good practices leading up to those big games, it didn't seem like they had a lot of effect on the score, as we all know. We seem to really got beat and beat bad by Tech a lot of times. And so I don't know if that is, you know, just a matchup deal. We never matched up good against Texas Tech. Our offensive philosophy, they scored a lot of points, and our offense wasn't designed to score a lot of points. We tried to do ball control. So the fact that we got down early really hurt us. Where this team now matched up against LSU, you know, LSU has great defenses. They seem to year in, year out. This seems to be a year where we could kind of take advantage of maybe a defense that isn't quite the caliber they had been in the past, but we didn't do that. And so, you know, all in all, I don't know what it is. I think most importantly, it's a matchup thing. And for whatever reason, LSU's done a great job of taking advantage of those matchups out there.
I got to ask, because of the Texas Tech thing, if that is the bowl matchup for A&M, we talk a lot of times how bowl games, and they don't really do anything for fans emotionally. Last year's game against West Virginia was, you know, kind of a ho-hum sort of bowl season. Would a matchup with Texas Tech, would that fire you up? And some of you, as a fan, would that get you a little bit excited about the bowl game?
Absolutely. I think being able to play any Texas team, whether that's Texas Tech, whether that's TCU, whether that's Texas, has some added intrigue just because those are people and friends and relatives and whatnot. Certainly we want to sit around and talk trash about how much better the SEC is. They want to tell us that the SEC is overrated and vice versa. So, you know, I definitely think that there's a lot more excitement when A&M lines up against teams that we haven't been able to play for the last couple of years. Obviously prefer to play Texas, but, you know, the matchup there with Cliff Kingsbury, obviously been here working with someone. There's a lot of interesting dynamics there. Probably a lot of guys on our team right now were recruited by Cliff Kingsbury. So he knows our offense. We know his offense pretty well. It makes for an interesting football game for sure, and a lot of trash talking. It'd be fun to beat up on Texas Tech a little bit. I know that.
Steve, in your experience, where A&M's facing an off season here, they're probably, Kevin Sumlin's going to have to make changes on offense, whether it's personnel or whether it's scheme. How does a coach go about that? The coaches you've been around, how do they implement that? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, I've never been a coach. I don't want to speak for them or how that they do that. But I think that the game is constantly changing. And with the amount of technology available for coaches now, they can really break down what has been successful throughout the course of the season pretty easily through all the data systems and whatnot. And I think being able to use that data and say, man, you know, this offense had a lot of success against these types of defenses that we play in the SEC. This guy's philosophy really made a lot of sense. And then I think there's a lot of relationships in that coaching business. A lot of turnover, obviously, from year to year. And so those guys develop a network of, you know, they get fired one place and go to another one. I think it's just finding the right guys that work together and can bring out the best in the group of guys that they have and have to coach. But most importantly, I think for Kevin Sumlin, if he does decide to go out and bring in extra people or change roles or move that around, is finding a offense that is able to effectively score points in the SEC, you know, whether that's a spread or, you know, you look at a guy like, you know, Alabama, you know, they run more of a pro-style offense, Georgia. It's interesting, you know, which side of the coin, you know, Auburn had a lot of success in the spread, Gus Malzahn, I can't say his name, but anyway, you know, those guys, you know, the offensive philosophy seems to always be changing. You know, you had that Auburn offense that had a lot of success, but it's just really gone flat the last couple of years. And currently you've got a lot of spread teams that are throwing for a lot of yards. And, man, now it seems to be some of these teams that are running the ball really well or having a lot of success here late in the year, cold weather games, and building around good defense. So the game, to answer your question, is always changing, and it's finding that current trend that works within your conference to be able to match up well and win football games. And here's the interesting thing to think about. In years past, you would say, well, A&M is not going to be able to recruit the level of talent like Alabama, LSU, Auburn. But now we've been able to go assemble the talent that we need so we can pick what offense we want. We don't have to be a spread offense like Texas Tech used to have to be to level the playing field, or conversely, like Georgia Tech and Power, you know, run the wing T just to level the playing field, because you can't go out and recruit the good guys. So you got to do something different that really stretches defenses. So, man, I think the availability for a guy that comes to A&M right now is wide open. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Last thing, Steven, before we let you go for the regular season is, you know, after watching the 12 games and, you know, A&M got ranked pretty highly there for a while, and then it's sort of a disappointing middle of the year and kind of bouncing back, what would you like to see in the bowl game, whether it is Texas Tech or whether it's someone else, specifically as far as the offense or defense or whatever, to kind of get you fired up for next season and to think, all right, yeah, this season didn't end the way we wanted to, but I saw this, and now I think we're set to have a big year next year?
Well, I am a firm believer that quarterback play drives football teams. I don't care what offense you run, what defense you run, who you got on defense. What, at the end of the day, you want to win football games consistently on any level of football, you've got to have good quarterback play. If our quarterback plays good football, I believe our defense will play better. If we're scoring points, we're moving the football, I believe our receivers are going to play better. Our running back will play better. I believe the level of play of everybody on that football team will rise. I believe coaches are better when your quarterback is making good decisions. And so, for me, I look at it, and if we can get through this bowl game with Kyle Allen, continue to get the ball out quickly, throw the ball accurately like he's done, and limit turnovers, I would be excited and say, hey, man, he really did progress. He took 15 days of extra practice during the bowl season and developed as a passer. That would give me a lot of confidence moving into next year and being excited that this team can really rally around and build around Kyle Allen and his ability to throw the football. So that's my number one takeaway. I believe that we will win and lose football games, and we will be as good as our quarterback will allow us to be at this university. So all in all, no pressure on Kyle Allen, but I believe that, you know, for us to be the team and to have the success like Alabama, we're going to have to get it from the quarterback position.
There we go. Steven, I want to thank you for being on with us all season. We'll try to get you on as we get close to the bowl game, but thanks for being on with us every Monday. Great stuff as usual.
Hey, thanks, guys. Giggle Mags, hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. Stephanie, you need to go hit the treadmill. I know you ate too much, man.
Thanks, Steven, buddy.
See you guys.
There you go. Always fun stuff from Steven McGinnis. I mean, it's a good point there.
Yeah.
And the thing that, you know, it's easy to lump everything on at the end. But, yeah, I liked what he said about Kyle Allen, that he did get better as the season went on. Now, he's not good enough yet to be the star in the middle of A&M's offense, but maybe he's getting there. And I thought that was
And also what I like what he said is A&M has arrived, really, what he said, is as a university. They can do whatever they want to. They can go out and get the best players because they have the best facilities, the best fans, everything. Now they just have to run whatever Kevin Sumlin wants to run to have success. They don't have any gimmicks. They can go out, and we talked about that in the first hour. He's got to make decisions of who they are and then just move forward and have success.
All right, we'll go to break. When we come back, let's talk some basketball.
Hoops.
How about that? 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, Rudy's Barbecue, and Garland Shelton Imports.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
The 89th Annual Bryan College Station Christmas Parade, A Winter Wonderland, steps off Sunday at 2 p.m. Rain or shine, plan to be there as we celebrate the official start to the Christmas season. Look in Sunday's Eagle for a listing of all the entries. Then be along the parade route Sunday at 2. The parade starts at Polo Road on University Drive, then turns north on Texas Avenue. Kids, don't forget your letters to Santa and include a return address so Santa can write back. The 89th Annual BCS Christmas Parade, A Winter Wonderland.
The guide to better living in the Brazos Valley is the Brazos Life Annual Manual. The Brazos Life Annual Manual is packed with everything to see and do in the Brazos Valley. From where to go to take in our vigorous art scene or where to go for a vigorous workout, this magazine features the who's who, what's what, and where's where in the Brazos Valley. Advertise your business in the Brazos Life Annual Manual. Call Sam Jones with Bryan Broadcasting or email sam@bryanbroadcasting.com.
It'll be getting dark earlier this month, so you'll need to get to Rattler's earlier to take advantage of these super November specials. Grab a couple of Mrs. Baird's delicious pies for breakfast, two for only $2 with your registered Rattler's reward card. Stop by and get a midday energy boost with a 2.85-ounce bag of Jack Link's jerky, buy one, get one free. On the way home from a hard day's work, pick up any 18-pack of beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $15.99. Rattler's. Friendly. Clean. Texan.
This is Louis Bellina. This Christmas, Blue Baker and The Zone are asking you to add a child you've never met to your Christmas list. Christmas angels are little paper angels with a child's name and Christmas gift wish. Choose a Christmas angel from the tree set up inside both Blue Baker locations, 201 Dominic and also 800 University Drive. Then shop for your angel, drop off the wrapped and labeled gifts at the tree, and we'll do the rest. The last day to drop off angel gifts is Friday, December 11th. Thank you for helping make a Merry Christmas for a Christmas angel.
Your home for fighting Texas Aggie football. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. Let's run through a bunch of the texts real quick we didn't get to. Someone said, I thought I was watching Baylor-TCU game over again, but they had an excuse for no offense. That weather looked horrible. Good point. Someone said, the two-back set worked. The slot plays worked. Why did we stop running these type of plays? Great question. Someone said, sad thing is we were paying Sumlin more than LSU was paying Les Miles. What a joke. What was our board thinking, paying the guy $5 million a year? You know,
that's a gone rate. We talked about that
right,
before.
Right, the market. That's what the market said you had to pay him. LSU's had less miles longer. They don't have to pay him more, apparently.
Plus, at his age, he's gone.
They were apparently a good second half from A&M away from firing Les Miles. So
correct.
They're not going to pay him anymore.
One play, maybe.
Yes, one play. Who knows? Someone said a potential Tech game would be interesting. I thought our run defense was bad. They can't tackle anyone, and
no.
We can't score on offense. Something has to give. Jacob from College Station said, can we steal Sonny Cumbie away from TCU? Reports are that he's the front runner for the not yet vacant, but will definitely soon be vacant, OC job at Texas, because Doug Meacham is reportedly going to take the North Texas job. So we'll see there.
A lot of shaking going on yet, folks.
Someone said, why did we not try another screen pass? The one Aran was wide open, we just missed the block. One, Anna's been horrible at blocking on screen passes. And then two, LSU's defensive line is so athletic that they were getting the Allen before they could even set it up, which is, I don't know how that even happens, but that happened a couple times.
Yep.
Someone said versus Texas Tech in the Texas Bowl, the play caller could find a way to gain the fewest yards against them this year. Thought that was interesting. Someone said if you put Johnny Manziel behind this offensive line, Johnny Football wouldn't exist and there'd be no $500 million stadium. To me, that's the biggest key in fixing things. Good point. Someone said who's Spav's boss? Ultimate responsibility is someone's. Also a good point.
And
someone was talking about Tate Martell again and being another smaller quarterback. He's a little bigger than Murray, but yeah, he is a smaller quarterback also. On the Sumlin thing, this is what my column after the game was about, in that he gets, like I said, his seat's not hot yet, but he's got to get the offensive, and Spav hasn't been fired yet, but changes are coming
to
the offense.
He's got to fix the offense.
Changes are coming to
just
the offensive side
offense,
of the ball.
Yeah.
He's got to fix the offense this offseason, or his seat will be hot next year. Like I said, that's coming. All right, those were all the texts we got today. We've gotten so far today. We take a few minutes, just 5 minutes here at the end, to talk about Texas A&M basketball, Cease, because they're back. Aggie Hoops is back. They beat Texas. They beat Gonzaga. Had an ugly, ugly game against Syracuse that neither team played well and lost that one. But now ranked 18th, the highest they've been ranked in almost 5 years. It was spring of 2011 the last time. In January, in fact, 2011, last time they were in the top 20. Looking pretty good.
Well, we all were able to watch the three games like most of the fans. And the Gonzaga game was just a great game to watch. But just repeating what everyone already knows. A&M's got talent. We talk about football and everyone. You got talent, you're going to win games. A&M's not 18th by mirrors or Billy Kennedy didn't fall down and all of a sudden, hey, I can coach. I can take nobody and make him into 18th in the country. No, A&M's got options. It's going to be fun to watch this team progress. And we'll use the same football comparisons. They're 18th, where they're going to be at the end of the year. They've got so much potential, but now how does Billy Kennedy get that potential to keep taking steps forward when I always worry about being in what I consider a non-football conference other than Vanderbilt and Kentucky and maybe Florida. There's going to be
maybe LSU.
There's going to be games where you're going to play people that aren't good. How do you still get better when you're 20, 30 points better coming in? But we see this time and time again in other sports. You've got to improve your team because come March, there's about 80 or 90 good teams, and how are you going to be better? But it's a fun problem to have.
Yeah, they looked real good against Gonzaga. I mean, that was a game played at a real high level.
That was a nice game to watch.
The three games in 3 days, I think, caught up to both teams in that Syracuse game.
Sure.
And also, that matchup zone is hard to prepare for with no practice, and you're not going to practice when you don't have a day off. So that game was always going to be hard. And that's why Syracuse always does so well in these tournaments, because their zone's hard to prepare
for
on one day.
They run that something no one else does.
But against Gonzaga, which, again, I thought was a game played at a real high level. Not a lot of fouls on either team. I thought both teams played pretty well. A&M just happened to win there at the end. A&M showed that they're a legitimate good team. They're not just good enough to make the tournament. Like we talked about, our expectations and what this team, what the fans' expectations should be, is this is an A&M team that now is ranked about where they need to be. They need to be in the top 20. They need to solidly make the field. They need to be a high seed. And they need to put themselves in position that if they don't make the second weekend, it's because they got upset by somebody. And that can happen. And sure. I've talked about this before. Sure. You never put an expectation on a coach of, oh, you've got to make the Sweet 16.
Correct.
Because upsets happen. But you've got to put yourself in position that if you don't make it, it's because you were upset. And I think they're close. They've got a few more big games coming up. We'll see how they do. Arizona State this weekend is a decent game. And then Kansas State is a decent game. And then you've got a big one against Baylor, who's 25th this week in the poll. And then we mentioned Iowa State is now number 4. And that's going to be a game that gets bigger and bigger as the season goes on. I was looking at this earlier. A&M only has 5 top 10 matchups in the history of the program. So if A&M can keep winning and get up to close to top 10 or so, that Iowa State game would be a historically great game for A&M at Reed Arena. They've only had a couple top 10 or top 15 even matchups at Reed Arena. So great time to be an Aggie Hoops fan. And we'll see them Wednesday. I finally get to see them in person. This is my first game to see them. Will be Wednesday against FGCU.
Look, at Syracuse went the whole way to 14th. If A&M was able to win that game, and let's be honest, we said rubber legs, what have you. A&M's right now a top 15 team in the country now. Did they go to the top 10 or did they go to the top 20? But once again, it'll be interesting to watch this team progress.
And I don't like to complain about the polls this early in the year.
Oh, okay.
I have to, though.
Okay.
4 people have A&M unranked after that. And all 4 of them have Gonzaga in the top 13.
But you also have to remember, people – it might take the poll. Oh, yeah, A&M's good. See next week. Those guys might wake up next week. That happens a lot if you watch
that
on polls, because I watch.
Well,
it takes some of these guys a week and gals a week to wake up and say, oh, I didn't realize that team was that good.
Yeah, and also early in the season, 1 or 2 games shouldn't sway you that much. And I agree with that. I wouldn't drop Gonzaga a whole lot for losing to A&M.
But
if A&M beat them, you've got to move A&M up a little
bit. But Syracuse goes way up because they're Syracuse.
Syracuse is now 1 spot behind Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga is now 13. They were 10. They're 13.
Correct.
Syracuse is 14. And A&M is 18. And I'm fine with A&M at 18. But
and Vanderbilt 16, they played 1 good team, and they lost. That was a good game. They played Kansas as well.
Vandy's overrated.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're overrated. But that's why. Don't worry about polls.
No,
polls will take care of themselves.
I know, and I try not to. But the 4, being unranked is ridiculous. The 4 people that have A&M unranked is bad.
You need to find out their names, put them on your blog, and so the Aggies can you know,
I already put them on
them.
Twitter.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Well, I didn't put their names or anything, but I linked to the thing that has their names on it.
Yeah, that's what you need to do.
Well, it's just
I get those emails all the time.
That's bad. If you're voting and you have, and like I said, all 4
that's
of
a responsibility.
Them, all 4 of them have Gonzaga in the top 13. Now, if you think Gonzaga's overrated and that A&M's win shouldn't count for that much, fine. That's just your opinion. But
correct.
You can't have Gonzaga 10th and A&M unranked.
I understand.
Yeah, and one of them does have that. So anyway, good week to be an Aggie Hoops fan. Again, we'll see them on Wednesday. They're back at home. And then we'll see how good they can be. This is a team that when you look around college basketball and you watch a lot of games, and I know that people don't want to get too excited too early, but A&M's depth and their talent level is on par with almost anybody.
You better buy some tickets now.
Yeah. That Kentucky game, I think, is already sold out.
Sold out.
I think I saw that earlier.
That's correct.
That Iowa State game will sell out. Like, again, that's a top 10 team from the Big 12, which, by the way, I was
Baylor will sell out.
I don't know. See, that's an interesting one. Now, I did notice that they announced their half price or whatever they're doing, the holiday hoops thing, and the Baylor game's not included.
Wow,
so,
there you go.
Yeah, if you want those Baylor tickets, they're going to be full price. But it's going to be an interesting season. I did notice earlier, I was looking up the Big 12 SEC showdown in late January. That's going to be an absolute murder. The Big 12 is going to be favored in like all but 2 of those games.
Well, so, that's what I'm saying. That's why glad A&M's playing all these good teams early.
Yeah, well, in A&M Iowa State, that's, you know, again, A&M is probably, it's hard to argue with how they placed the teams. A&M is probably the second best team in the SEC. I think they're better than Vanderbilt.
Correct.
The problem is the second best team in the Big 12 is Iowa State, and they're ranked 5th in the country. Kansas is 4th. So it's just kind of the way it works out.
They're interchangeable.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting. Well, and like LSU, 3rd in the SEC, LSU gets Oklahoma. They're ranked 5th or 6th in the country. So it's going to be bad. But again, all that matters for A&M fans, you don't care about the rest of the conference. All you care about is A&M.
Sure.
And if they can play that one close, it should be a good season. But we'll talk more about them on Wednesday when Kroom is here. And, of course, it's a game day, too. But I had to throw them in.
Sure.
Also need to mention another great weekend for Aggie Volleyball hosting. They're going to be here. What a great season for them. One thing that's kind of bad about winning out the rest of the games in the regular season, their next loss will be their last one because the season will be over.
If they lose.
Yeah, if they lose.
There you go.
They don't seem capable of it. and then a great season for Aggie soccer. Their season done as well, but a great season for them. And congrats to Coach G and them for making it back to the Elite Eight. So, again, lots going on over the weekend and a lot still to come as we roll into the heart of basketball season and postseason volleyball. So you'll want to stay with us for all that. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, speaking of seasons being over, time for the high school report. We'll get Larry and David in here and talk about all that. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. A College Station police officer finding a temporary tag on the wrong vehicle led to a traffic stop Friday afternoon that resulted in the driver being arrested on multiple charges. According to online court records, it's the sixth arrest in the last 5 months for 29-year-old Samuel Herrera of Iola. According to the arrest report, the officer found a handgun under his driver's seat, two large folding knives in the console, and baggies of methamphetamine and marijuana. Just before midnight Saturday, College Station police officers were flagged down while patrolling on Dominic, northwest of Oaks Park, for a disturbance at a nearby residence. The victim said she was in an argument with a person she knew when that person threatened her with a deadly weapon. Then around 2:20 Sunday afternoon, CSPD was called to Dartmouth near Southwest Parkway, where that victim said he was in a fight with his uncle and was threatened with a deadly weapon. In both cases, police were able to talk to the victims and the suspects. No arrests have been made in either case. Three crashes involved more than 20 cars last night on Highway 6 near FM 159. The first crash involved three vehicles. Then when one driver stopped for slowing traffic, the other five vehicles behind her did not, which caused a second crash involving six vehicles. No injuries were reported in the second crash. Then again, because of slowing traffic, there was a third crash, which involved 12 vehicles. Two-thirds of an inch of rain has been measured at the airport since Saturday. Further north, a deadly storm is dumping more rain on North Texas in some dangerously swollen waterways. The band of storms has been blamed for eight deaths in Texas since Thursday. Utilities in Oklahoma say ice storms there cut power to more than 78,000 homes and businesses as of Sunday morning. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Well,
Million Dollar Quartet is the smash hit musical inspired by the true story of the jam session that brought Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Elvis Presley together for the first and only time. Million Dollar Quartet features timeless hits like Blue Suede Shoes, Whole Lotta Shakin' Going On, Hound Dog, I Walk the Line, and more. Played live by fabulous musicians.
Presented by MSC Opus, Friday and Saturday, February 19th and 20th. For tickets, visit MSCOpus.com.
Green Teams welcomes the Wells Fargo Advisors to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Wells Fargo Advisors uses Green Teams for interior plantscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals and features large outdoor containers for plants on patios. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior plantscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Hargrove Insurance, Terry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Excuse me, sir. We need to come up with some screening questions to enhance our job postings on AggielandHelpWanted.com.
Oh?
Questions that can help us evaluate candidates before we call them in for the interview.
Okay. How many elephants does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I would think something more serious, sir.
Okay. Do you love your mommy?
Maybe something more challenging.
Got it. If two hens can lay three eggs in 4 days, how long does it take a donkey to kick the seeds out of a watermelon?
Why don't you just leave it to me?
Good idea.
Always helping you find the best local employees. AggielandHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Best wishes this holiday season, and have a very happy new year from Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. Fellas.
And then there were three.
It was not a good weekend, was it?
I think we kind of all thought, though, this was one of those weekends the challenges were going to be there.
Right. And all this, everyone ran into some tough matchups this weekend.
Yeah, there were. And there were some very competitive games. Actually, the Bryan game, it really kind of turned – it ended up turning on a muffed punt, but it really might have turned a little bit earlier than that. Bryan lost 48-28 to George Ranch in a game that was very close in the first half, and they were up 14-6, had an onside kick. And as you and I have talked about on those games all season, the onside kick can be a pretty effective weapon for Bryan. Well, Angel Quiroga kicks the ball, and it went only about 7 yards, but a guy comes up to field the ball, and Bryan just crushes him. I mean, he gets just blastered, and the ball comes loose. Bryan recovers it at the 49-yard line. They're up 14-6, have been moving the ball offensively, and it looks like all the officials agree it's Bryan's football, but the guy from the opposite side of the field runs over and says it's interference. And so he called interference on Bryan. So Bryan not only didn't get the ball, they gave George Ranch a 15-yard penalty, and they
still... you can get called. I'm confused.
It's like calling a fair catch, but he didn't call a fair catch.
Yeah, that's not a thing. There's no such thing as kick catch interference on a kickoff.
Well, apparently there was in that game, and if you want to see and it was not a ball that was kicked. It was actually popped up. So I mean, it was a matter of him trying to catch it. But I thought the same thing.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
But whether it matters or not, here's the thing: he caught it, and then he got hit. Or that's the way it appeared, at least, to just about everybody there. You should see, check out on the Eagles' website and see Ross Rogers' reaction. You'll get an idea of what he thought about it. But, I really think it was a huge turning point in the game because Bryan is moving the ball really well. Now, I don't think there's any doubt George Ranch was going to get going offensively. They did in the game, and they ended up winning it by 20. So you don't know that could have turned the entire game. But Bryan was up 14-6 at the time and would have had the ball back at midfield. And I the more I thought about that, the more I just realized that was just a gigantic play in that game. As it turned out, Bryan muffed a punt deep in their own territory that turned into a touchdown. That was clearly where the game began to turn the other way. But it was a pretty good game for a half, and Bryan played extremely well. Really kind of came out and jumped on him. B.J. Ross moving the football down the field. But I'll say this about George Ranch, and it's been a long time since we saw Temple. I think they'll be a competitive team. I don't think they can beat Temple. I don't think that's the...
No.
But you and I left that game, that Temple game. I'm not sure we thought anybody was going to beat Temple from that point. I didn't.
No, I mean, until they run into one of these other great teams, I forget how the divisions line up, but someone else up there in that echelon of talent, it was certainly going to take a while.
All right, Larry, you saw the two College Station teams, and you started with College Station on Friday night.
Well, College Station was the team that you and I thought out of the three local teams that had probably had the best chance of advancing, and part of that was the fact that they had the higher seed in Division II, and they were playing against Angleton, a team that came in with a 7-5 record. Angleton looked like a lot better than a 7-5 team, from the press box where I was sitting Friday night. The thing that's interesting about that game is Angleton is just kind of old school, David. They played the guy sitting next to me in the press box wanted to call it a wing tee. It wasn't a wing tee, at least not in terms of the wing tee that I saw Jim Slaughter and those guys and Steve Huff, run at A&M Consolidated. They played almost exclusively two tight ends, sometimes with two backs, sometimes with one back. They didn't have a lot of wing backs, but it was a run, really a run-heavy formation.
Well, they have a wing back. It wasn't a wing tee.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so the guy said it's a wing tee, and they have they had a flanker out there, but it really wasn't a wing. But anyway, it was a run-heavy formation, and then they played really good defense, and that was the thing that was the most surprising about the game to me. If you'd have forced me to pick. With Bryan, College Station, and Consolidated, of course, there is no deciding for me on the prognosticators. I have a simple formula, and I just pick the local guys, and, of course, I went over. But if you were to pick forced me to pick. I would have thought that College Station had the best chance to advance, but I didn't realize that Angleton would be that good defensively. Okay. They played really good defensively, and College Station has been productive and has been good pretty much all year. I mean, they have good talent. They have a nice balance of talent. They got the two Chris's, Chris Monroe, Chris Sinnett in the backfield. Mm-hmm. They have good receivers, and Reese Easterling had a good season, you know, filling in for Ty Brock. But man, as the coach Ryan Roark, the coach from Angleton, told me after the game, he said he just didn't think College Station was used to anybody come up and just stuffing the run,
that's what
they did, and it was a good combination because Angleton also has a stud of a sophomore tailback.
Well, let me ask you about that because I was listening to Chase as I was coming home from the Normandy game. I was listening to Chase Murphy calling the game, and it sounded like a lot of those runs were just straight up into the line. It didn't sound like there was a whole lot. Now, maybe I was misreading him and thinking that because that's kind of the way Bryan attacked College Station in the second half and won that game. So maybe I was reading, you know, what I knew into the game.
Well, what Angleton did particularly well was counter plays and misdirections.
Wow,
so
okay.
it wasn't just like a straight dive play, but the 75-yard and the 51-yard touchdown runs by Billy Foster, the sophomore kid who ended up going for, 206 or 203. He had gone for 312 the week before.
Mm-hmm.
So that kid is a sophomore, and in 2 weeks of the playoffs, he's over 500 yards. That's pretty stout. But the two long touchdown runs that he had, David, were what to me looked like just a routine counters off left tackle. You know, it's a you have the misdirection look, but it's just a playoff tackle.
Yeah.
But the thing is, on one of the plays, the safety came up and maybe took the wrong angle or left a gap, and that running back, even though he's 6'3" and 190, is still fast. I mean, he's really a good athlete. If he makes his grades, he'll be a prospect.
Once he got
through that, there was nobody over there.
And that's a compliment to Angleton because I think College Station safeties were outstanding. I really thought Grant Steppen back there along with Raj Preciado were just tremendous safeties. And so, there's so many factors that come into it. And it was just kind of like watching the Bryan game. I mean, Darius Anderson, you know, he'd stop and go the other way, and you'd think, how in the world did he make that move? You know, you run into some awfully good running backs.
It was a really good combination, and I think the surprising thing was that Angleton's defense was so effective. And then the other thing is, of course, Saturday night, while you were down in Houston at U of H, I was over in Houston at NRG Stadium. It was nice and climate controlled, nice and toasty in the home of the Texans. Matter of fact, I was the last one out of the press box. I could have probably stole Bob McNair's old stadium.
Yeah,
nobody would have known except the guys that were repainting the numbers down there on the field.
I'm sure J.J. Watt was already in the waiver.
You know, last time I was there, this is a true story. The Texans were going out of town for a game, and I walked into the stadium as J.J. Watt's walking out. I just thought of that as a changing of the guard.
You and J.J. Watt are very similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we are.
So
let me jump up on this table.
All right,
go ahead.
So Consolidated lost to Ridge Point in I guess the game that came the closest to having one of our teams have a chance at the end. They actually scored with less than 2 minutes left to get within 8 points and then got the ball back. So they were within about 40 yards of having a chance to go for a touchdown and 2-point conversion to tie it. They lost 35-27. But it's interesting that you talked about the plays with the onside kick and the muffed punt in the Bryan game. The kicking game was a huge, huge part of the Consolidated game, and it went Consol's way a couple of times. Tyon Merchant had a huge game. I know just right off the top of my head, I know he had two or three tackles behind the line of scrimmage. They try to throw a quick screen to a wide receiver, and he just run past the receiver who's supposed to tackle him and tackle a guy with the ball. He also blocked a couple of punts and had all kinds of plays. Well, he blocked a punt, and they ran it in for a touchdown. And when they did that, that made it 21-21 in the third quarter. Late in the third quarter, they had blocked the punt, got the touchdown, then forced Ridge Point to punt again. And the punter bobbled the ball, and it worked out pretty well bobbling the ball because Tyon Merchant got his hand on it again. Yeah. Two punts in a row. It went straight up, and when it came down, a Consol guy tried to catch it. It went off him. I didn't see it go off another guy, but Coach Rathfield said it also went off a Ridge Point guy. But the punter, who was at that point arrived at the football in a bad mood, having had a couple of them blocked, was on the run. He caught it on the run and got a 25-yard gain. And, you know, the radio guys are going like, you can't run a – you know, and I don't know what the rule is on that. I mean, I know you can because it was done, and Coach Rathfield and nobody complained about it. But the whole thing switched. I mean, I'm not saying Consolidated wins if that doesn't happen, but Consolidated would have had the ball in Ridge Point territory with the momentum. Yeah. And instead, with – you know, they get a 25-yard gain. Ridge Point goes and scores. Then they stop Consol and they score again, and all of a sudden it's a 14-point game. So it's a whole different game. But like I said, Consol also got the benefit of blocking the punt and running it in. I thought Ridge Point was, and you guys talked about Temple and George Ranch. I thought Ridge Point was a physically more gifted, faster, bigger football team than A&M Consolidated. When I talked to David Rathfield after the game, he said he thought they were evenly matched teams. He said he thought if they played 10 times, it would probably be 6-4. Well, if a coach says that, you know, he means that the other team would get them 6 times out of four. I'm not so sure that was the case, but I thought Ridge Point was talented. I can't figure out what to make out of Angleton for the way they beat College Station, which was such a surprise. Now, Ridge Point and Angleton will play in the state quarterfinal round, having knocked out the two teams that we were covering. Right. And there went Aubrey's chance of Cattageddon.
Yeah.
Although Ridge Point is the Panthers and Angleton is the Wildcats.
There you go.
So
sort of.
It's a non.
And I really don't. I really don't know what will happen in that game. The other thing, Aubrey, I don't know how much time we have left, but the big surprise of the weekend, and you mentioned how many people got knocked out, but I didn't see Navasota's loss coming.
None of us saw that one coming.
David said that was
to win it at the end.
A really good team that they played. So it's not shocking.
Well, and hard to overcome four turnovers.
Well,
no matter how good you are.
Correct. And it's also the last team that had beaten them. They had not lost in 2 years until they lost to Carthage 2 years ago. It was the last time that they lost. I'm going to mention real quickly, and I know we don't have much time, but Cameron got the win over an undefeated Grandview team, 42-28. They're now going to face Teague, the team that probably gave them as much trouble as anybody in the playoffs last year, Friday at 7:30 at Waco ISD Stadium. Franklin got a really big one, getting by Newton 28-20, which was a huge win. That's sort of been their nemesis, kind of like Tenaha has been in the past for Bremon. But they're now going to take on the Crockett Bulldogs, and they're going to play at Madisonville Friday night at 7:30. So don't have to go all that far for that one. Bremon's got a little bit longer trip to get to that. And, Larry, I know you're looking forward to that because you're probably going to be making that trip.
Yeah, Bremon's playing Bruni at Converse Judson, so you get to drive to Madisonville, and I get to drive to the far side of the world.
But Bremon,
San Antonio on the far side of the world?
Pretty close.
It is for an East Texas guy like me, not for you Kerrville guys.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Anyway, Bremon won over Fall City, who had been undefeated 41-14, so that was a really big win, and another big performance from Rashad Paul. There are actually a couple of games at Kyle Field this week. I don't know if you guys heard about that. But,
no, who's playing at Kyle Field?
Let me look it up to be sure I got it right. Mathis and Hitchcock are playing 7:30 Friday. And let's see.
Of course, one of the highly anticipated games of the year.
This could be a pretty good one. Rockwall and Lake Travis are playing at 2 o'clock.
Hey, Saturday. There we go. That's a big game. Maybe we'll go check that one out.
Am I wrong that Hitchcock was a team that eliminated my Rice Consolidated Raiders?
Well, you're right. I think
that they did play a week longer than both of y'all's teams.
Oh,
that's right.
Larry,
hater.
And to get Primo his due, El Campo lasted until the final play in a 2-point conversion to get knocked out. So
tough weekend for the everybody around here.
Yeah, that's right. We're all without the home teams, but you know, celebrate what's been accomplished, because there's been really good seasons around here.
All right, that's today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozier, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozier proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break, come back, and wrap up with the news. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Join conductor Marcello Busicchi and the Brazos Valley Symphony Brass as they present the joyous sounds of the holiday season Sunday, December 13th at 5 p.m. at Christ United Methodist Church. This Brazos Valley tradition features organist James Faith, the Sanctuary Choir, and Canticle Bells of Christ United Methodist Church, and the College Station High School Varsity Women's Choir. Tickets are available at bvso.org or by calling 845-1234. The Brazos Valley Symphony Orchestra, making music come alive.
It'll be getting dark earlier this month, so you'll need to get to Rattler's earlier to take advantage of these super November specials. Grab a couple of Mrs. Baird's delicious pies for breakfast, two for only $2 with your registered Rattler's reward card. Stop by and get a midday energy boost with a 2.85-ounce bag of Jack Link's Jerky, buy one, get one free. On the way home from a hard day's work, pick up any 18-pack of beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $15.99. Rattler's, friendly, clean, Texan.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, Rudy's Barbecue, and Garland Shelton Imports.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
So, you're struggling with truck dysfunction. Don't worry. 4 out of 5 trucks suffer from truck dysfunction. Let the pros at Texas Fleet Outfitters give your truck that boost of confidence it needs. TFO offers a huge selection of lift kits, tires, and wheels, spray and bed liner, toolboxes, steps, winches, window tinting, and nearly anything you need to keep your truck riding high, turning heads, and looking strong for years to come. Side effects include increased confidence and a strong desire to overtake sports cars like speed bumps. Texas Fleet Outfitters, 2770 Osborne Lane in Brighton.
Do you love The Zone but want to get more in tune with your favorite shows and hosts? Follow us on Facebook at Zone 1150 and get the skinny on everything that's going on, from shows to events to press conferences and more. Want to stay up to date on all programming, events, and play-by-play? Go to Twitter and follow us at Zone 1150, and you can get a visual of it all by following the Zone 1150 Instagram account. Become the best fan you can be by following The Zone on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram today.
You buy 100 pounds of yeast and some copper line. Everybody knew that it made money shine. And I'm a revenue man, want a granddaddy bad. Head left for holler, everything had. For my time, but I've been told to never come back from Copperhead Road.
Welcome back, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom joined by Kelly Brown to tell us what's going on out there in the news. What's happening?
Well, we've got Sam Peschick, our higher education reporter, is over on the A&M campus at the Bush Library, where he is readying to hear award-winning documentary filmmaker Ken Burns.
Oh, yeah.
And the photographer Mark Burns. They're going to lead a panel discussion in advance of a National Parks Gallery opening at the Bush Library.
Cool.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And our former 41st president, George Herbert Walker Bush, is expected to attend the event. Yes. So the irony of all ironies is our photographer is sick today, Dave McDermott. So he's not here. So Sam will be taking a photo of this.
Photos of photos?
Right. No, he'll be taking a photo of like one of the most amazing photographers in our of our time. Okay. So he was a little bit worried. He felt the pressure.
Yeah.
I told him to hand him his iPhone and just have Mr. Burns
do
take
a selfie. Yeah. I'm sure you wouldn't be offended by that.
Sam scoffed at me and ran out of the building. Speaking of running out of the building, Jake Walker did that earlier. You're going to like the transition here. There is a bomb threat was made at the Brazos County Courthouse. So they evacuated hundreds of people that were there for their jobs, obviously, and then people doing business there, everything from the county clerk's office on up to court and potential jurors. So far, they have not found anything. So we're waiting word on that. And usually what happens, 9.9 times out of 10, they arrest somebody. So eager to hear about that. Have you ever been on a hoverboard?
No.
Okay. Well, a man was charged today with stealing a hoverboard from a guy at College Edge Apartments. Used a BB gun.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't steal things.
He's accused. We'll see if he's guilty.
Well, I just mean don't steal things in general.
Sure.
Even if you haven't stolen anything before, don't start now.
And then there's a crazy drug story that you're going to like. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yes. All right. Don't spoil it. I'm excited now. All right. Come back tomorrow. We will be breaking down more what A&M's got to do this offseason. Get you ready for A&M volleyball. Getting ready for the NCAA tournament tomorrow. Lori Corbelli should be with us. Busy week. Stay with us all week. You will not want to miss it. It's been Aubrey Bloom and Kelly Brown. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Season's greetings and best wishes in the new year from Louie Belina, Tex-Ags Radio, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, and Chip Howard, the Zone Family. This is KZNE, KNDE, HD3, and K274C.